Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hey, everybody, welcome. This is a really cool good news segment. I want to thank you all for joining us here today. Justina Nixon Santillo is joining me here today, IBM Vice President and Chief Impact Officer. Now, for those of you, you may not know this, but there are some of us that grew up on the East Coast. And when you go up on the East Coast, there are companies you get familiar with. One of them is IBM. And if you understand, you know, being there and watching a company like IBM, you learn a few things. For those of us on the East Coast, we understood the importance of sustainability way back. That could be a whole nother show. We don't want to do that to you today. But IBM, from where we sit, has been in the forefront of this. Many of you don't even know that. You may not know that today's show is to learn about and understand vulnerability, environmental threats, but more importantly, what is IBM's role in this? And for those of you that may be thinking, wow, are they new to the game? They're not. Justina, welcome to the show. It's great to have you here today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I want to talk about this for a minute because those of us that did grow up on the East Coast were quite familiar with IBM's impact in the sustainability space. And I just want to come out of the gate and say that because this is not new for you all. This is renewed in a sense. You're really accelerating through your accelerator program, right?
Absolutely. You know, IBM has been invested in sustainability for a long time. I mean, over 50 years ago, we issued our first sustainability policy. And that's before many companies were not really focused on this area. It's something that has been important to us. We issued our net zero commitment a few years ago. And, you know, we continue to, you know, really focus on our operations, but also supporting our clients and customers on their sustainability journey. So definitely not new for us, but, you know, really excited to be here to share some of the new things that we're doing around the Sustainability Accelerator.
Yeah, I want to ask you this question because it's one of these things that, you know, the term social responsibility came out, I don't know, when did I first hear it in the academic world? Maybe during my dissertation in, you know, the late 90s. But this has become very important for organizations to really get behind. IBM is behind it by this particular conversation today. You know, this is about Sustainability Accelerator Program and how it aims to help communities. But more important, it is a part of the social responsibility agenda. And that's what I see in this conversation today. I think it's great that we are talking about sustainability, but I really want to get underneath what you all are doing to engage communities to be able to step out there and not only just do something, but to get the community, to get the volunteerism, to get people engaged in participating. Does this program do that?
Yes, it does. You know, so when you think about IBM's purpose, and that's to be a catalyst that makes the world work better, the work that we're doing around social impact and corporate social responsibility ties very nicely to that purpose. And we work across all of our IBMers in all of our communities to engage them on volunteerism, mm-hmm. to help support our communities around education and sustainability. And we also partner with organizations that are closest to those communities, that understand what they need, that can bring our solutions and our platforms to those communities and bring our expertise as well. But absolutely, our IBMers are so passionate about all of the work that we do, and they sign up. We have a list of IBMers who are signed up to help support programs like the IBM Sustainability Accelerator.
Well, let's talk about what it is, because it is important for cities. It's important for urban populations, but it's important to build a level of resilience for those people that don't know what the word resilience means. Resilience is the thing that keeps us all going, regardless of what's going on in the world or in our environment or our family. It's that thing that builds up the muscle of optimism from where I sit. Can you just talk a little bit about how you're going into communities and what the program actually does?
Yeah, so when you think about what's been happening lately with more frequent and severe weather events, we need to make sure that our cities are prepared, as exactly your definition of resilience, how to make sure that they are resilient against those extreme weather events, that they are prepared, that they can recover quickly as well. And that's why we launched the IBM Sustainability Accelerator. It is completely a social impact program, completely free for all partners. And it really uses IBM's technologies, all of our weather data, our forecasting and prediction modeling, our AI platform, and we bring all of that along with our experts at IBM to work with those nonprofit organizations and universities that are closest to the community. And it's really around how do we enhance and scale the solutions that they have in those communities to those populations that are most vulnerable to environmental threats.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're talking about this. You know, recently I started my nonprofit for women, and you know, we're looking at it. This should be easy to launch things, but when we step out into the world, we need more organizations like yours, because you're there to help those of us that don't quite understand the landscape. And I think that's what this program, you know, is doing again. It's reminding us. I want to ask you about this. Those of us here that understand the impact of this, we understand what this means. I'm so thrilled that you're bringing the message out here, because I think we get our forgetter going and we forget. But the weather does remind us, doesn't it?
Yes. The weather reminds us. I mean, I think we see all around us what's happening, right? And you know, the changes that are happening in our communities. And I think we need to be prepared, but it has to be partnership. You know, there's just so much that you can do alone, and we need to make sure, whether it's our governments, our universities, our research institutions, the nonprofit organizations that are focused on climate change and climate adaptation and mitigation, we need to all come together with corporations like IBM, mm-hmm. That have the access to expertise, have the access to the right platforms to really make a difference, right, globally. And this is really what we're doing here. But we need those organizations that are on the ground, that are closest to those communities, to really help us be successful.
You know, let's talk about this. I love the term cohort. There's a lot of folks that may not know what that word means. You know, I know it because amazing results happen when you bring cohort groups together. But let's talk about what this means and what these city cohort groups are all about. And, you know, how do we bring people together? If you were to give me three steps that people could take today to really get activated here, what would those three things be?
Yeah, so I also love bringing in a cohort, because there's so much you could learn from each other, right? So number one, you know, we would love people to look at the opportunity to share these kinds of programs with organizations in their communities or with their local government and say, this is a great program that could make a difference for us. This is an opportunity for you to apply and be a part of it, right? So sharing information about this program is definitely one step that I think people should take. Another step is to look at opportunities, right? There are so many websites out there that can help them understand what are the environmental threats in their area and how should they prepare? So they should look to their local governments as well to get an understanding of that, do some research around it, and make sure they are prepared, right, for their personal property, themselves, their families, in case of an environmental event. So I think that's something else that they can do. And the third is get get more young people involved. I mean, young people care about this. You know, get a movement going on how do we support sustainability overall. It doesn't have to be about weather events, but how do we go out as a community and plant some trees? How do we make sure we're cleaning up our environments, right? So all of that is a part of caring for our community and being focused on how to make our cities more sustainable. So those are the three things that I would recommend.
Yeah. And what is a website? Let's just make sure people know how they can get involved. What is the best place for people to go?
Yeah, can you give us that? Information to share about the Sustainability Accelerator and the work that we're doing around sustainability overall, the website is ibm.com/impact.
Yeah. You know, Justine, I want to say this to you. I mean, those of us that have grown up on the East Coast, we understand it a little bit. And why do I say that? You know, imagine me, a young teenager walking on the Jersey Shore. Yes, I did say Jersey Shore. Yes. Walking on the Jersey Shore and stepping on a hypodermic needle. And so those of us that grew up, we know the advancements we've made. But we need to remind each other. And I think that that's what you all are doing at IBM, not just by doing these shows, but by actually taking action. What's in your heart? You're doing these interviews. You're in charge of a phenomenal initiative at IBM. But I really want to know now, for kind of my last question to you, what is in your heart? What has got you fired up to get out here to do interview after interview and bring this message? Believe me, this is my life's work. So I know that this takes an effort. But what's in your heart?
Yeah, I am passionate about this. I've always been passionate. I grew up in a very underserved, vulnerable community. I'm an immigrant from an island, Dominica, that also was impacted by, you know, environmental threats all the time. Every year we had the hurricane, we had to recover, you know, we would lose our roof. I mean, I think we need to understand what this means for us and our communities. And I think we need to figure out how do we solve these issues? How do we prepare to make sure those vulnerable communities, those low-income communities, underserved communities are not being left behind, right? Especially because of climate change or the acceleration of technology or any of these big issues and big challenges that we have, which are also opportunities as well. So I am, you could probably sense I am passionate about this. And I want to make sure that we have a thriving, sustainable city in the future, now and in the future. And I think we all need to contribute to that.
Yeah. You know, you're right on. You know, we are a network and we have the launch of an additional 8 channels this year. And we just had a meeting and voted on how to change the order of what we're going to launch. So the good news is our Green Talk channel, which wasn't supposed to launch till next year, is going to launch this year. Why? Because of exactly what you've said. You know, imagine an entire channel of live streaming video and talk that's dedicated to this level of awareness, because you and I have the same thing in mind. We cannot forget. And we have to help people remember by optimism and by action. What's your personal message? What do you want to leave us with? How can people engage? How can they become part of your movement?
Yeah, I think the best way is to get on our website, ibm.com/impact, learn about our initiatives, share about the Sustainability Accelerator, and, you know, make a difference in your community. Anything that can be done will be positive and it'll be well received. So we appreciate anything that your listeners can do to help advance this work.
Yeah, thank you so much, Justina. Thank you for everything you're doing. But more importantly, thank you for not letting us forget. Not letting us forget that even if you live in New Jersey, you are now experiencing earthquakes. Yes, you are. That's what we're talking about today, Justina, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
Exactly.
I'm going to tell you, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about things that just you would never even think about happening. But now, thanks to IBM and ibm.com/impact, thanks to them, they're helping iron out the field so everybody can play in it. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll see you in a few.
What does it mean to be more resilient to everyday challenges and create the life or organization you truly want? Hi, I'm Daniel Rutschman, founder of Elevated Resonance, and I bring a unique blend of expertise to this work with an in-depth knowledge of scientific concepts related to change and resilience. Are you ready to embrace change and celebrate a life worth living? Visit elevatedresonance.com and ask for Daniel.
Are you on a spiritual journey to heal relationship trauma, addiction, anxiety, habits, and other issues? Hi, I'm Michelle Carboni, a rapid transformational therapist with over 700 hours of training in hypnotherapy, intuition, and coaching. My passion lies in helping you heal yourself. I use hypnotherapy and coaching to help clients healing the inner child to create a fantastic future with intention. Join the Zen Revolution. Transform your life today. It's a community dedicated to supporting each other as we all strive for a more fulfilling, balanced, and Zen-filled life. For more information, visit www.zenmindmichelle.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our good news segment. Now, all of us are getting ready to get our engines fired up, get out there, do the traveling we've always wanted to do. But what is it that you should know? Let's fast forward to where we are today. Sophie Shulman joining me here today, Deputy Administrator, National Highway Traffic Safety Administrator. And today what we're going to be talking about is spring forward for safety. And this is the thing that we don't stop and think about. How safe is your vehicle? Do you know what's going on with it? What should you be checking before you get in there and make these gigantic plans to head out into the sunset? It's so great to have you here, Sophie. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Let's talk about vehicle safety. I don't think we can say enough about making sure that we are prepared, that we're planning, that we understand that there are some things we can do. In the world we're living in today, our vehicles have gotten a lot more complicated, right? And yet most of us are still reading the repair book to even start the engine. So help us understand the importance of safety here from where you sit.
Absolutely. Well, vehicle safety is a huge part of road safety. I'm here to talk about open recalls on your vehicle, and this can be anything from your seatbelt, your airbag, your child's car seat. So these are incredibly important safety tools that will make sure that you, your passengers, and other people on the roads are safe.
And you know, this is an interesting conversation because the bottom line is we think that unless we see flashing red lights, that everything is okay. And what I mean by that, Sophie, is we think that somebody's going to pick up the phone and call us and say, hey, your car has got to come in. But that's not the way it works. We really have to become more responsible, don't we?
Absolutely. You need to check and make sure if you've got any open recalls on your vehicle. And it's really easy to do that. You can go to our website. It's NHTSA.gov/recalls, NHTSA.gov/recalls. You can put in your license plate number or your vehicle identification number, and it'll let you know if you have any open recalls on your vehicle.
All right. So tell us about Vehicle Safety Recalls Week. You know, I know you're doing these conversations, you're having these shows, but you really are very focused on the points you're trying to make here, aren't you?
Absolutely. These can be potentially deadly safety defects. They can be incredibly dangerous. And so that's why it's so important to all of us to check and make sure if we've got open recalls on our vehicle. You mentioned Vehicle Safety Recalls Week. We do it right around daylight savings time because it's a time when people are thinking about home maintenance, spring cleaning, and we really want folks to remember to also check and see if there are open recalls on their vehicle.
So what have you all seen is the best way to stay on top of this? Because I think we're all kind of alike. We don't think there's anything wrong with our cars. And I think we're kind of a little old school and that we think, oh, somebody's going to pick up the phone and call us and say, hey, your car is being recalled, but that's not the world we're looking. How much responsibility do you think we need to take on this? And what tools are out there to help?
Yeah, well, we've got lots of tools, luckily. So first of all, I mentioned our website, NHTSA.gov/recalls. It's really easy to look it up there. We also have an app. It's Safer Car App. You can download that, register your car on there, and it'll let you know if there are new recalls. It'll send you a push notification on your phone if there's an open recall on your vehicle. You can also put your car seat or other equipment into that as well. You should also, if there is a new recall, get a letter in the mail from your manufacturer that will have information about how to get that free repair. They'll have instructions, how to schedule an appointment, when parts will be available, and, you know, more things to follow up on there.
What do you think are some of the greatest misconceptions about this? I know for me, we often think, oh, recalls are only for new cars, right, that come out, but that's not necessarily true.
Yeah, that's definitely true. So you may have heard about the Takata airbag recall. It's one of the largest in history, and it involved about 67 million defective airbags. These are very dangerous. About 27 people died in the U.S. because of these defective airbags, and there are still 8 million of these that have not been remedied in the U.S., and there's about 100,000 in the state of Washington and 50,000 in the Seattle area that have not been repaired. So this is actually a really important thing that's been out there for quite a while, and folks haven't gotten all of those addressed yet. So again, it's free to get it repaired, and it is potentially deadly. So it's really important to think about that.
Now, tell us about the Safer Car app. Tell us a little bit about that. I like that, you know, we're talking about something that people can get, they can download. It's very easy to really be able to, you know, say, look, I can keep track of this on an ongoing basis. Just because I checked today doesn't mean that tomorrow there won't be something new, right? Does this app take care of all the updates for us?
Yeah, it definitely makes it easier because you don't have to think about it at a regular schedule. It'll push, you know, a notification out to you that there's a new recall. Again, it's your vehicle, but also your equipment, like your car seat. I'm a relatively new parent, and so I know how important it is to have a safe car seat for your child. It's a really great tool. But again, if you don't want to download the app, you can always visit our website and look these things up as well.
What are you finding? Can we talk for a little bit about, you know, the trends? Are you finding that people are more aware of this now, or do we have to really do a better job to say, look, there are tools available and this is a serious thing? So a lot of times we don't take this seriously enough. I'm one of those people that didn't do that way back and had a fuel injected engine that I didn't know was recalled. And I'm telling you, that thing went through a toll booth. That thing was flaming like nobody's business. Wow. And that's just one example of where we were and how hard it was. Now, there's really no excuse for not being on top of that, right?
Yeah, well, we had about 1,000 recalls last year that affected nearly 40 million vehicles and pieces of equipment. So it is, you know, there are a number of recalls out there, and it is something that we all have to be aware of. We all have to share the message that folks should check and see if there's an open recall. And as you noted, these can be incredibly dangerous safety defects. And so it's so important to check on a regular basis to make sure there's not a new recall that's come out.
Yeah. And then also, we could also look this up by VIN number, correct? Is that also another way to do it? Can you just?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep, so your vehicle identification. Yeah, so on our website, you can use either your license plate number or your vehicle identification number, which you can find inside your vehicle or usually on your insurance card as well.
I want to ask you this question. I'm not sure if you know the answer, but I know cars are getting more and more complicated, right? We know they are. We're you know, once upon a time, what? You put the key in the engine, you turn the engine on, and the car starts. Now you put the key. Now there's no key. You don't put the key in the engine anymore. You hit some button and off you go. You know, is this now the new world of making sure that there are more features we have on cars, which we all love, right? But there are more possibilities for things to go wrong. I mean, is that something we're looking at, or are we getting better at quality control?
One thing we are seeing is a lot more over-the-air software safety recalls, which are, you know, it can be a software update like it is on your phone, but it actually repairs something that is a safety defect in your vehicle. And this is extremely convenient for consumers, but it is really important to understand that it is a safety defect. You need to make sure that you have the right software version installed. You know, we like to say, if you update the software on your phone and your phone doesn't work, that's okay. But if your car doesn't work, that can actually be really dangerous for you or your passengers or someone else on the road. So please make sure you've got that right information. And if the the update isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing, we want to hear about it and make sure that we're addressing that as well.
Are there any recalls out there that you can mention that people should be aware of? I mean, we've talked about, you know, the airbag. I mean, that's crazy. But what are you seeing from where you sit? Or what are some of the recalls that you're seeing that you can spotlight for us?
Yeah, I would say in addition to the Takata recall, which is, you know, again, still quite large and a number of those that have been unremedied. In addition to that, I would mention car seats. You know, I think I mentioned I'm a relatively new parent, and you know, that is such an important thing to make sure is safe. And so there were about 100,000 car seats that were recalled in 2023. Please check those and make sure there's no defect associated with your car seat as well, because that's such an important thing to keep your kids safe.
Now, the other thing that's important, and this is, can you talk to this point? I know a lot of times we've done shows on recalls before. And one of the things that have come up from our audience is, yeah, I heard your show. I went to the dealer and the dealer's like going to charge me. I mean, there's so many stories we're hearing now about how difficult it could be for some people to actually get this fixed. So they have to know their rights. You know, if you've got a recall, you got to take that back to the dealer. The dealer's got to fix it. There's no argument here.
Absolutely. All recall repairs are free at your local dealership, and the manufacturer is required to cover the cost of that repair. And absolutely, it's important for folks to understand that.
Yeah. The other thing I want to mention, and maybe you can talk to this, I know we're always looking for shortcuts, right? But this is one area that I don't recommend you bypass your dealer and try to get somebody local to fix it. I mean, often we do that, right? But this is not one of those cases. You really need to go back to the dealership, because those are the people that are authorized. They know what to take out, what to replace it with, and how to do it and not affect the warranty on the car, right?
Yeah, I think, again, it's important for folks to not be worried about the cost, because this is all free and covered by the manufacturer. And so, yes, you should go to your local dealership. They should know what they're looking for, but make sure you read that documentation from the manufacturer as well, because that will have some important information.
So one of the things, Sophie, what didn't we talk about that you'd like people to know? And again, please give out that website.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think just reminding folks, as you did a great job of, that these can be incredibly dangerous safety defects. So please check for open recalls. You can do that at NHTSA.gov/recalls. That's NHTSA.gov/recalls.
Yeah. And the other thing I want to say to people, you may be thinking, oh, this is just a small thing. You know, we don't really understand the underpinnings for certain things that are being recalled. We don't understand how they affect other things. So it doesn't matter what degree the recall is. People should really just get it fixed, right?
Absolutely. And it's free to do so.
I like it. One more time. Website, last question, personal message. What do you want to leave us with today, Sophie?
When you change your clocks, check for vehicle safety recalls at NHTSA.gov/recalls. That's NHTSA.gov/recalls. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. And for those of you out there, before you get out on that road, you know, do more than kick the tires. Just make sure you're checking on your vehicle. Make sure everything is working the way it should. It's very easy to do. Thank you so much, Sophie. Thank you all. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.